Welcome to the Weekend Windup on Bedford 105.1. We're here today with the four original hosts, Moscow Matt, and Head Loser Commissioner Mitchell Roy, and Flan Marie. And today we have a special guest in the studio. He'll be in one of our, he's in our interview as well today, but we also have David Guimont here. We're switching it up. I'm all about progressiveness here. And we're going to add him to our discussion this week.
Pleasure to be here.
And yes, I know this is a shock to many of you, but I, Manny Ray, will be running the show this week for the first time.
Boo, Manny Ray.
Where's Manny? Boo.
I'm right here, Matt.
Not my host.
Settle down. So I'm not, Matt, I'm right here, not in Moscow like you. So,
quiet down.
So to start off, it's hockey week this week, baby. And we've got interviews with state champs Chase Valancourt and over here, as I said, David Guimont. So sit back, relax, get a tin ski, and pack a lipski with a dipski. So to start out, we're going to start with our discussion segment. And our first segment is, what would Roger say? So this is where we talk about local takes on high school sports from a specific view of our favorite sportscaster, Roger Brown. So, Mitchell, what you got this week?
All right, so here we go. Boys basketball, Bedford versus Portsmouth, D1 championship this
Big
Saturday.
Game.
Big game, 3 o'clock, UNH. I tweeted about this earlier. Bedford student section was awful on Monday night against... So bad.
Sad.
I said they need to step up their game.
You tweeted about this?
I'm Roger Brown, Jack.
Oh. Oh, I tweeted at you, Roger Brown. Yeah.
They need to step up their game. So, you know what? I don't think they're going to do it. Bedford, they're a bunch of soft kids. They're rich. They think they got everything made out for them.
Daddy.
Yeah,
money.
You know, the only thing we have that I would say to Roger is championships. And we have more championships than he can count on all of his big, stubby little fingers.
Like
and
just, clap.
Just copy my tweet, honestly, Manny.
And
just
clap.
Copy my tweet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have it in front of me.
But again, all right, so here we go. So prediction for the basketball game this weekend. I'm going to go Portsmouth 156 to Bedford 40.
I mean, and if we want to talk, we can talk about the championship game or right now if we want for a little bit with Bedford versus Portsmouth. I mean, when you say that score, I mean, Portsmouth has a very good team. They're
Portsmouth
known to
is
be,
undefeated.
They're undefeated last 2 years, I believe, correct?
Yeah, they haven't lost in 2 years.
The last time they lost was in the championship game. So they're not a championship team.
Last year they were in D2, won the championship, Matt. And so they're on a hot streak. And I mean, Bedford's, we've got a good team this year, but I mean, it's going to be a tough game for us. But we got one of our favorite players in the house, or not in the house, but... From Weekend Windup, Liam Green. He'll be out there. Yep. Had a great game this past week. Really
money.
Locked.
Cash money.
I mean, through finger injuries.
10 for 11 from the free throw line. That was crucial.
Pretty impressive.
At the end of the game, all you heard was whoosh every time he was on the free throw line. But, I mean, it's going to be a good game. So what do you got, Flanny?
Well, the other thing, that tweet from Roger Brown about the student sections. That
classless.
Is just classless and just stupid.
He's all about class.
He's an idiot.
Sportsmanship. And look at what he does.
No, who even is this guy? Like, he doesn't even have a Twitter profile picture. I'm trying to dig up some beef on him. I don't even know what the guy looks
nobody
like.
Has ever seen a picture of Roger Brown. So, hot take here. Roger Brown could be Roger Goodell disguised. Ooh. Going
kind of like Troy Mazurvey. Goes with the no profile picture, right?
That is bold.
Troy's wet, though, so that's all that matters.
But back to this tweet. The Bedford student section was decked out in togas.
I mean,
top to bottom.
Flanny and I. Mitchell, did you have a toga on?
No,
I didn't have a white bed sheet. No, so we got
I didn't
two,
have a white bed
we
sheet.
Got two fakes. We got the communist over here, and we got the commissioner who's freaking Anthead.
Anthead loser.
The two, David, I believe, wore toga as well.
Yes,
yeah.
And I did wear the Jesus sandals, the Birkenstocks.
Yeah, same. Yeah. So we got the three super fans here.
I have my Tevas, of course.
Killed the student section. So I don't know what Roger's talking about. We had some great chants coming out of the student section.
And we're going to get into this earlier. The Spalding fan section was awful. Okay. Like, if he's going to say we need to step up our game, the Spalding fan section was disgusting. They like
SHS.
Yeah,
SHS.
It was crazy how bad they were.
They were twice the size of the Bedford student section, but we were twice as loud.
Without a doubt.
Like, not even close. It was embarrassing.
They were spotty with their costumes. I saw a banana.
I saw a doctor over there.
I don't even know what I saw.
Tropical. I'm pretty sure there were some tropical guys. Tropical.
Yeah, I do have to give it to one kid.
I saw a couple homeless people.
Okay. I think I Caleb saw him too. But I think I saw one kid in a ghillie suit, and I
did see that.
That's pretty impressive to pull that off. I'll give it to him on that.
It's bold.
You know? All right.
Bold, yeah.
All right, so moving on to our next, what would Roger say? We got the preseason baseball rankings coming out soon. So in the after last year's season, they had Sauhegan above us, Bedford, after we won the Division I championship and Sauhegan won the Division II championship.
Manny, what was that score in the Division I state finals?
22-4.
Yeah, I think that was right. Yep.
22-4. So, I mean, I don't know what Roger was thinking. He's not a fan of us. But so what are we thinking for Roger's predictions this season? What do we got?
I mean, I can't really influence the outcome of this because I'm probably not going to be on the team this year. However, I'm going to have to pick Exeter. I think Cody Morissette, he's not a preferred walk-on. I think he's a scholarship athlete, I think he's going to make it.
No, Exeter has the best pitching staff in the state. That's a known fact. They're definitely better than Bedford. Definitely best team in Division I.
I mean, they've really proved themselves in playoffs as well in the past few years.
Yep.
Legion baseball. They won
choke
in Legion baseball.
Round.
Yep.
And I just want to clarify that I'm saying this as Roger, not as Jack Flanagan. But as Roger Brown, I think that Exeter has better managers than the Bedford baseball team.
Which so we all know. Have a better fan section.
Yeah.
Just all around, Exeter is better.
Exeter is just a classy group of kids. I think Sauhegan, Portsmouth from Division II, they're definitely better than Bedford.
Yep.
But if I had to release the rankings right now, I'd probably put Bedford like somewhere around...
On the second page of the newspaper.
Yeah, they wouldn't even make the rankings. Yeah. Top 10.
Bedford has a baseball team?
I mean, classic stuff out of Roger right there.
I have one final. What
coming
would Roger
back, coming
say?
Back.
Yep, just coming back real quick. What would Roger say? If I'm Roger and I'm talking about March Madness, I would say that Syracuse did not deserve to be in the tournament.
Which is true.
They did not.
If you're Roger, it's
good
true.
Job.
No, it's true.
Good
in
job,
general.
Roger. You were right this time.
Roger got one right.
I heard Roger Goodell picked up Plymouth State winning the NCAA finals.
All right. Oh, Roger.
Okay. So moving on to our next segment, which is Power Moves, where we talk about individuals who really display some actions that are truly powerful about what they're doing. So Matt, let's go to Mitchell first. What's your power move?
All right. My power move was McDonald's Twitter account. So
they were hacked, by the way.
Oh, hold on. I'm getting into this.
Fake news.
Basically, they tweeted at Donald Trump, "We don't like you. We think you're a bad president. We want Barack Obama back."
Which is fake news.
No, I looked and I couldn't. I think you're providing some alternative facts here. I couldn't find that they were hacked. I looked.
Well, if you look at
I think this is just McDonald's Corporation.
No.
Power move. They're attacking the president.
That's a power move.
That's
then,
yeah.
Okay. So if you actually did any real investigation, you'd see that the tweet 5 hours
Breitbart,
ago.
Breitbart.
No, 5 hours ago, so it's about 5:55 right now. 5 hours ago, about noon, you know, something like that. See, they tweeted, "Our account was compromised. We make sure not to do this in the future." Their account was compromised. They were hacked. It's not anyone who from McDonald's tweeted it. Also, their tweets are not like that at all. They wouldn't just tweet that randomly.
That sounds like the type of cover-up that would come out of the Kremlin.
Yeah, that's a KGB
Vladimir,
kind of thing to do.
Putin or something would tweet
I mean, I'm wouldn't even... All right, round two. Matt Provost. Oh, he's coming back. So, all right, Matt, while you're on your way back to the microphone, can you give me your power move of the week?
My power move, Manny Ramirez, former Red Sox legend. He's been going on a tour recently around the world.
Gotta love the guy. Great guy.
Oh, yeah.
Giving the people what they want right here.
No one ever called him smart. So, I mean...
These Manny being Manny, what can you say?
So, there are many places you can play if you're not good enough to play in the major leagues in North America. However, this guy goes to the independent leagues of Japan, which is basically the lowest of the low. So Japan's like AAA, so he's going to like the independent leagues of AAA, playing with optional practices and unlimited sushi.
And a Mercedes-Benz.
And a Mercedes-Benz is a driver, so he can be driven anywhere, and specifically requested a Mercedes. It's a power move.
That doesn't sound that bad to me. And also, if it's the lowest of the low, how would it be AAA? Because wouldn't the lowest of the low be like single A, like farm systems?
I'm saying it's the lowest of the low because typically, like, it just relative to the independent leagues of North America, the independent leagues of Japan are like even worse.
I've never heard of the leagues aren't that bad.
I've never heard of the independent leagues of America.
Some of the greatest pitchers have come out of Japan.
Yeah,
Ichiro,
Dice K
is the GOAT,
but he didn't come out of the independent leagues. He came out of the professional leagues. Independent leagues aren't really they're kind of semi-pro. So he's playing semi-pro ball in Japan, which is kind of like
the guy's doing what he loves. All right,
what's that semi-pro?
I think Bobby Valentine coached in Japan, too.
Yes, yeah, Bobby Valentine was trash.
A professional team in Japan, not a semi-pro team.
Okay. All right. So, moving on. Flanny, what's your power move of the week?
My power move. Donald Trump's taxes, okay? So, this is another one of my segments a little bit later. But pretty much what happened was MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, total moonbat, goes to release his tweets. Or not his tweets, his taxes. Completely illegally, by the way. It's just, I don't know how she did that.
Sad.
Sad. Very sad. Alternative
Jill
facts.
Time. Wrong.
Wrong.
Fake news.
Alternative facts. Donald Trump releases the taxes before Rachel Maddow can. Whoa. Makes her look like a complete ant head. It's hilarious. I love it.
Kind of like Mitchell.
Donnie Trump coming with the power move as usual. He's always in this power move discussion. He's made it again. Yeah. He's making America great again.
That is just truly a power move right there. Yeah. I mean, nothing to say about it. All right, so my power move for the week is Baez, who's playing for Puerto Rico at second base. I mean, Cubs World Series champion this year. And Puerto Rico is up in the game. And was this, Mitchell, clarify for me, was this the last play of the game or was this just late in the game?
I think it was just the last out of the inning.
Yeah. So you got a runner on first base and he's stealing second base and the catcher guns him down. And Baez, he's got the ball and he's about to tag him. But you look at the video and Baez is pointing at the catcher, yelling and screaming at the catcher, celebrating.
He's not even looking at the tag. No. He's just got his glove there.
Got it. I mean, how good do you have to be to do that? He doesn't even, no bother.
Means you have a lot of confidence.
Confidence caught him in the game seven in the World Series, though. You saw where he had a bunch of errors in one inning.
Background on Baez. When he was in the minor leagues, he got a tattoo of the Major League logo on his neck. Normally, it would be like right in the jersey. Imagine you're like taking your shirt off in the clubhouse, you know, getting changed, and he's like kind of sends the wrong message a little bit.
He's a little bit of a cocky
guy. He's a cocky guy. Yeah. Definitely a cocky guy.
Power moves. He's dropping
But that's
power
what
moves
he's all about. He's all about the power moves.
I'll tell you what, if he dropped that ball, that would have been a meme for years.
Yeah, right.
Celebrating before he even caught the ball and got the guy out. But that was just impressive. I'll respect that.
Yeah, you got to respect that. So moving on to our next segment, we have Sportsman of the Week, Whitmore Sportsman of the Week. So this is a classic. So Matt, can you give me your Whitmore Sportsman of the Week?
My Whitmore Sportsman of the Week is Don Giovanni's Pizza, located in New York City. So we all know Barstool Sports' Dave Portnoy does pizza reviews. He gave this one a 4.6, not just because of the pizza. The pizza was good. Pizza was good. Pizza probably would have been a 10. But just because there was cold pizza, you know, the pizza was really good. It probably would have been a 10, right?
He said the pizza was pretty good.
But the pizza was cold and the hospitality was awful.
Right.
So Don Giovanni's, knowing that a lot of people watch his pizza reviews, they're like, oh, wow, well, how do we get this pub back? How do we get this, this good word? So they make it for all people who are stoolies, who read, Barstool Sports. They said, all right, well, you get free pizza between 3 and 4 p.m. So do you think that regains some of their
big publicity? Total sportsman move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I got a question. How do they determine who's a stoolie?
I guess if they come in and say, I'm a stoolie, I want my free pizza. Because if you're not a stoolie, you wouldn't know about it. So.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but that's just showing how much influence Dave Portnoy has on the world.
Oh, my God.
He's grown.
He's upwards of 500,000 Twitter followers, I think. I know Barstool Sports has over 1 million Instagram followers, so
yeah, he really knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So, moving on. So, Mitchell, what is your sportsman for the week?
Yeah, so my Whitmore Award for Sportsman of the Week this week goes to, actually, Mr. Whitmore.
The man, the myth, the legend.
The man whom this award is named after. So, at the boys' semifinal basketball game on Monday, the fan section got a little rowdy, led by...
Oh, it got a little rowdy.
It got a little rowdy.
Led by
you too, Manny.
Jack
I'm not going to lie.
Led by Jack Heaps.
I was giving the people what
there
they
was,
want.
There was a vulgar chant.
Yeah, I call it a vulgar chant. It wasn't really...
Directed at the referees.
Wasn't really appropriate.
It wasn't appropriate at all. So Bill Whitmore, being the sportsman that he is, hey, Jack, get over here right now.
Yeah.
Pulls him out of the student section, puts him in timeout for a little bit.
And that... Amazing to watch Heaps in timeout. He looked so sad over there.
He was. I think he had tears in his eyes.
I love how he like tried faking it. Like he watched in the basketball game, probably knows nothing about basketball.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but yeah, Whitmore's grown on me this year.
Yeah,
he's definitely. I mean, he's given us some freedom.
Yeah.
And when we cross the line.
Yeah, he lets us know when we cross the line.
Yeah.
He's just an overall great sportsman.
He's a great sportsman. That's why we
great
have such great sportsmanship.
Exactly.
Yeah. I honestly think that the whole Whitmore thing's been carried away. I actually think he's a really, really good. He's very organized, gets people where they want, also gives the people what they want,
Oh, yeah.
I think he's good. I mean, what.
I actually had a nice meeting with him, and I'm sorry about that muff. That was Matt's fault. He threw the microphone at me. That's bad radio.
Bad radio.
Bad radio. But I had a nice meeting with Mr. Whitmore this week, and it's funny. Apparently he called my name on the loudspeaker, yep. And everybody's passing by the hallways. And
Jack Flanagan in the athletic office.
Everybody in the hallways was telling me, like, Jack, you know, go to the AD, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I walk in and he says, Jack, I'm very proud of you. You did well. Let's keep it going this Saturday. And, I mean, it just goes to show how great a guy he is.
Yeah.
He's
just
looking after his student section, making sure we're doing a good job.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'd almost give Flaney a sportsmanship award this week for how great he did leading the student section. He definitely deserved that award from Whitmore.
Hey, it was a team effort from everybody. So, you know, everybody who had a toga on
toga.
Really made it happen. Toga. Yeah.
So Flaney, who is your sportsman this week?
You know, this is funny, and it's a little bit of an inside joke, so I apologize. This is probably bad radio. But Joey Barrett, undoubtedly... my sportsman of the week. I'm Team Joey all the way. Joey Barrett, you're a sportsman.
Or Team Manny. I mean, you can pick and choose whichever one you want.
Now, if Manny's not involved in this, Manny's irrelevant at this point. It's Team Joey. Hashtag Team Joey. Tweet it at Weekend Windup. We want to see it. Hashtag Team Joey.
Tell your mothers, tell your grandmothers, tell your brothers. Tell them all. Team Joey.
Hashtag Team Joey at Weekend Windup. We'll sauce the retweet.
All right. So moving on to our next segment. Big if true. This is a great segment. We're talking about big news coming out,
big
headlines
news.
That we're trying to say
huge,
it's huge,
huge
if it's true. You're not sure if it's true. So, Mitch, can we give you my first big if true?
Yeah, here we go. So, Matt's favorite comedian, Amy Schumer, was rumored to be stealing her jokes from Dave Chappelle. So, one recent joke she said that was actually pretty funny was... somebody found a clip of Dave Chappelle using the same joke in 2005.
Dave Chappelle is one funny guy.
Dave Chappelle's hilarious. So, and Amy Schumer, Matt's favorite comedian.
So, if Amy Schumer says anything funny, you gotta like go, oh, well,
exactly.
She probably stole it from someone.
You gotta investigate.
Yeah. But, I mean, at least she's not taking it from some scrub, like,
right.
on the internet.
At least she knows
Dave Chappelle is a great comedian.
Oh, yeah.
What do you got
for him?
Also, do you really think Matt's gonna care? I mean,
no.
Amy Schumer is his favorite comedian, and also he's all about sharing things. He's all about sharing
your content, my content,
exactly.
Moscow
whatever,
Matt.
Same thing.
Potato,
Moscow
potato.
Matt, baby.
So, Matt, speaking of you, who's what do you got for your big if true this week?
My big if true is Joe Cantal. I mean, you were there.
Hardo.
I witnessed this
previous Hardo of the week.
So he's always talking about making these gains. I got to give him props. He used to be like 155, now he's 175. So I got to give it to him. Goes working out before school today. And he just
Thursday, working out before school, and we're riding the bike, and afterwards...
Oh, riding the bike. I feel like that's something that stay-at-home moms do while
reading
a book.
Not even doing anything aggressive, just riding a
bike.
Not
even, like, wind sprints on a 110-yard football field, just going end zone to end zone in
that's
the
for
dead heat of August.
That's
he's on a bike surrounded by 75-year-old guys.
Yeah. And then we finish the workout, and you just hear Quintal, oh, no. Walking in the bathroom, I'm laying on the ground out there. I was a little dead myself, and just let it rip.
Just big if true, because we thought
we don't know what it is.
We don't know what he did in the bathroom.
Who knows? He came out. Oh, I'm fine.
Yeah,
who knows what happened?
But big if true. If he's throwing up in the bathroom.
Here's another big if true. From what I heard, Manny was throwing a soft 81 at a pitching clinic.
Wow.
And Matt can throw
breaking
about
out
the same.
Big guns.
So, this,
ouch.
No, the reason
yeah,
this
it
is
hurts.
Big if true. Could this mean Matt is going to be an all-star starting pitcher?
Matt could be going to Tufts University to pitch.
Matt could be a jumbo.
We're gonna talk about where Matt's going later in the show.
Roll Bows.
But
right
now, actually,
yeah,
let's do it. Let me give you my big if true. So Matt Provost got accepted to St. A's College.
Thank you, Mr. Flanagan.
You can thank Mr. Flanagan for that. No, it was Matt. Matt worked hard. I got to say, Matt worked hard for this one.
My dad actually laughs really hard whenever I tell him that Matt thinks my dad is the only reason why he got into St.
Yeah.
He's like, what? Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous.
But the real big if true, I don't know if he's decided if he's going there. The big if true, is Matt going to a liberal arts school? That would be big if true.
Because true.
Man,
I mean,
like
it would really
be going
fit
to the liberal,
in.
Liberal,
it
liberal
would really
arts school.
Fit, okay. It would really.
He is. Don't worry, Dave.
I'm going to one. But it would really fit in if Moscow Matt was going to a liberal arts school.
So, I mean, we all have computers in here. Let me pull up the definition of a liberal arts college. A liberal arts college is a college with an emphasis on undergraduate study in the liberal arts and sciences.
In
so
liberal arts.
Yeah. Liberal arts are
emphasis
not
of that word.
Are not left-wing moonbat arts. These are...
They might as well just change it to the moonbat arts.
impacted a broad general knowledge and developed general intellectual capacities. So, math, science, you know, just like normal stuff.
Here's where the confusion for Matt comes.
Big words.
Yeah. Okay. So, liberal arts, he sees this as, you know, whatever. I mean... In a regular American's mind, this is very liberal. This is very left wing. But in someone from Moscow, this is like a conservative art school. Like liberal would be it's conservative. I don't know. You're communist, Matt. Just,
yeah. All right. Okay.
Yeah, you're just beating it.
Quick question off topic. Are you dressing like a Russian soldier at the basketball game Saturday since we are all dressing USA themed?
No, I'll be putting on my American pride because I was born in Manchester, New Hampshire. So I'll be wearing, you know, American flags, all that stuff.
Oh, is that what they call St. Petersburg these days?
He's Moscow, Manchester.
From Moscow.
Moscow, Manchester, they're easy to mix up.
Do you spell Moscow, M-A-N, Chester?
Man, I wish you guys were funny. That'd be great. We'd have a good show.
All right, that's enough of that. Matt has feelings. So moving on to our next segment, which is Mixed Signals. We're going to bring on... Jack Flanagan to introduce this segment because I know he has a lot of information on how this segment works.
Mixed Signals. He's got experience with Mixed Signals. Jack, what do you got?
Yeah, so this is a good segment that somebody else came up with, but pretty much what it is we highlight something in the news recently where there have been some mixed signals thrown. So one thing is presented. And then
some alternative fact,
as clear as day as that one thing might be, some people perceive it as something else. So it's a mixed signal. Anyways, my mixed signal this week, Rachel Maddow. Okay. We talked about this before. Pretty much what happened was Rachel Maddow tried to release the taxes. Donald Trump beat her to it. But the thing was, she was trying to act like this release of taxes was like crazy, that it was like the biggest news story in thousands of years. It wasn't. It was just a 10CE-69 form that, I mean, it was exactly what Trump was supposed to do.
I remember when I was watching, I'm like, okay, well, I don't typically watch MSNBC, but I'll tune in for this. So I said, okay, what could possibly come out of this? So she prefaces it with a bunch of like, oh, Trump Russia, Trump this, Trump that.
Yeah, we thought this was going to be a big
Trump
deal.
Trump everything. No, I did not think it was a big deal. But then at the end, all it comes down to is Donnie paid $38 million in taxes and was a good U.S. citizen in the year 2005. So that's all she revealed. And so basically, he had nothing. And that's quite
basically,
the mixed signal.
She played herself.
No, well, Donnie kind of played her, you know, a little bit, right?
You played yourself.
Yeah, she played herself.
All right, my mixed signal this week was Jay Roberto. So you were supposed to hear about this guy today. And, he's not on. So he texts us. He was very excited to come on. Oh, all this, all that, right? Tells us, comes in. He says, oh, I was supposed to be on this long ago. And he tells me in math class, 10:30 this morning, oh, sorry, I have hockey practice, can't come on. Wasn't going to tell me until I asked him. Did not, like, that's a big time mixed signal. He looked like he was so excited to come on, and then bam, just nothing.
Well, I feel like if you want someone to come on your radio show, you're not going to rip them apart when they're not here. Behind their back. So, I mean, I hope he listens to this. And no. he texts you, Matt, I am never coming on your show.
David, trust me, we ripped him apart at school, too. But there's another mixed signal here.
Oh, he's a nice kid.
Jay told you... Oh, I love Jay. Are you kidding? Jay's one of my favorite kids ever. But Jay told you that he was at hockey practice today.
Yeah. Which is true.
It's kind of true, but here's the thing. I'm on his hockey team.
Uh-oh.
His Avs team. His regular hockey team, which you would think... That's where he was practicing. No, he's practicing at his brother's hockey practice. He's just skating around at
some
Monarch
practice.
Move.
Well,
so yeah, I think so, or maybe some other Monarch
here.
Practice.
Jay is trying to play juniors next year, which instead of going to college, taking a gap year, and it is for the team that he wants to play.
Oh, this is for the juniors
on.
Team.
It's for Matt Giroux's team.
Well, then,
so it's open ice with Clint Edinger. You know Edinger.
Oh,
the
Clint,
trainer,
good guy,
great
yeah.
guy.
So
great hockey trainer.
I guess I might be sending mixed signals, but bottom line, it wasn't his
signals.
Regular hockey practice.
It wasn't.
So.
It wasn't regular.
Shame on you,
but
Jay.
But he's on the ice right now.
Okay,
not skipping out.
Okay, so our last mixed signal, I got David Price. So he's really we've seen him in the headlines a lot on MLB the past few weeks. He's he's got a hurt forearm. First you hear that he's coming back in a week. So I heard coming back in a week, oh, not that big of a deal, you know, just got a little forearm issue, feel it out. So, and then all of a sudden you hear he's on the DL until the start of the season. I mean, if that's not a mixed signal, I don't know what is. I mean, who knows what's going on with him? He's doing all kinds of things, but we need our, I mean, I wouldn't call him our ace, but we, Ricky's our ace.
Yeah, and Chris Sale. They're, Chris Sale. All three of them are like, would be aces
but,
on
but we need
much
Price, and we need to, we need to know what's going on. We can't have those mixed signals.
No, yeah. This DL, just he's on the DL or he's not on the DL. Let's figure it out.
We need to pick.
Let's go.
All right, so moving on to our last segment.
Hotto.
Nope.
We're not.
Boo, Matt.
This is why Matt's not hosting this week, because he doesn't know the segments. So our next segment is Jerry of the Week, which we can do for once again, Matt to start out with, because he is the biggest Jerry.
Matt's a Jerry every week.
Jerry of the year.
But so first, for Mitch, you want to start us off with your Jerry of the Week?
Yeah, my Jerry. All right. My Jerry is CBS. So they own the rights to broadcast all the March Madness games. So they have their app, their official March Madness app. And on that app, an hour, as everybody's trying to fill out their brackets last minute, the hour before the game started, 12:15 Thursday, app crashed.
I mean, what's the worst time for the app to crash?
It's like everybody's scrambling, trying to get the brackets in. 12:15
on Thursday.
Could you, like, the one time you need the app, you need to get it right.
Another thing. It's possibly the only time anyone ever uses their phones during school to watch TV. And also, the channels for March Madness are very hard to find. Like, every year,
oh,
I forget.
True TV,
Where's True TV?
If you tweet that, it's not in 800s for HDTV.
You tweet, I've never heard of True TV in forever, you're automatic 10 retweets.
Oh, yeah.
Because automatic. People can relate.
Yep.
People like Victor Plant would tell you differently that March Madness is the only time they watch TV in school.
We get a little clarification on that.
Yeah, well, what are we talking about?
No clarification needed. Next one.
Okay.
All right, we'll move on then. So, Flenny, while you're talking about random stuff, can you give me your Jerry of the Week?
Yep, this is disgusting. I was disgusted.
Total Jerry move.
Yeah. Absolute Jerry move. We were walking downtown after the
semifinal game.
The semifinal game, the Bedford Spalding game at UNH. Walking downtown, and we walked past. Well, actually, we were going down to a gas station to get chicken. We decided we didn't want to go there. Mitch was like, yeah, we want to get a burrito.
Who gets chicken from a gas station?
I don't know. But so we go to the burrito place. But as we're walking down, there's this burrito lying on the side of the road. It's this little basket of fries and a burrito on top. So Caleb says, that looks pretty good. And we're all like, dude, joking around, of course. So we go in, we buy a burrito. We come back. And guess who's sitting at the table in the burrito place with a nice burrito and a basket of fries? Caleb McDonald. Caleb McDonald picked up the basket of fries and the burrito and started eating.
Classic Caleb move.
He goes, oh, it's still hot. It's all right. It's still hot.
Disgusting. And then the best part, he sees some random guy walking on the side of the road all ticked off looking for burritos.
Not going to lie. Before I knew about that this was from some guy, random guy, who didn't look all well put together.
He might have been homeless.
Big if true. But I'm just saying, I had at least five fries. And unlike Nick Cannone spit it all out back when he found out I was by a homeless guy. I'm like, all right, I'm having it. It doesn't care. A fry's a fry.
Well, I mean, if you're taking a burrito if you're leaving a burrito on the side of the street, I feel like you deserve to get it taken away from you. But I mean, the guy paid for it, and Caleb just, snubbed his food right from the street. So I'm a little classless by Caleb, but we'll take it.
We're here with our next guest, David Guimont, who is a multi-sport athlete in hockey, lacrosse, baseball, rec soccer, and biddy basketball. So, Dave, I mean, I see right now you're a little injured. You got a cast on your hand right now.
I do.
So recently we had the hockey championship game. Fortunately, you weren't able to play in that. So what was it like to be bedridden? I mean, not bedridden, but stuck on the bench after you, because of your broken finger.
Well, I mean, you put it like that, a broken finger makes me sound like a bit of a, a wimp, but it was more than that, okay? You don't have to be a jerk. I had to get a surgical procedure to put it back in place.
Okay.
But, it was a fun day. Looking back on it, I'll never forget it. We started at 11 a.m., at the high school with our nice brunch, and we had a nice team meeting, and it was probably one of the you know, one of the most memorable days of my life. So I'll never forget that. And, you know, it sucks that I couldn't have played, but, you know, we also had a first team All-State goalie in there. So he played pretty good.
I mean, yeah.
He did all right, I guess. He's an okay goalie at best. Like, nothing special. not at Natty's at all.
It's just like morale.
The thing is, he has an all-star defenseman ego in front of him. Yeah. Not defensive core. It's actually two defensemen, and they just stop pucks from going in.
There's a great defensive pair of Jack Flanagan and Nick Cannone.
Yeah.
Actually, they did really good this year, and, you know, lucky enough, one of them was able to get the senior all-star game nod. So.
Now, Dave, I actually have a question to ask you. We had you in, what, a week or two ago to talk about how you were kind of robbed of an experience at the all-star game in Biddy. And
from who, though? From who did that?
From the loser commissioner, Mitchell Roy.
I believe he's standing, sitting right across from me.
Yes, he completely robbed you.
That would be me.
And we didn't have him on the show when you called in. But now I think it's funny. I know how you feel with this whole Ulster thing. But do you have anything to say to Mitchell while he's in here?
Tell you what. You know what? It's taken every ounce of my body not to jump across this table and start strangling you with that microphone wire.
Well, Dave, maybe a couple more points per game, maybe a couple more wins.
Maybe if you were better friends with Mitchell, too.
Yeah. If you were on his best friends list on Snapchat, you would have made it on there. I hear that's how he picked it. Most recent.
I was a little offended. I was offended the first day. I
felt the heat from you guys. Yeah. You and Jack. Oh, yeah.
Well, Jack kind of really let you have it. I was kind of just settling.
That's putting it nicely. Yeah.
He was kind of, you know, he's dropping the words. You know, I can't repeat on here, but.
Nope.
You know, he was a little, we were both a little offended, but I got over it really quickly, and, now when I bring it up, I just kind of, you know.
Yeah, it's something to laugh about.
It's a
game. I'm glad you finally realized that it's just a game. It doesn't matter.
I feel like I've heard tape recordings of Roger Goodell saying that the Deflategate is just something to laugh about, too. But, I mean, I don't know. This type of corruption.
Roger Goodell takes Deflategate very seriously, so that was a bad analogy.
So, all right, Mitchell. So, speaking of Biddy basketball, so what do you want to say about your lovely team, the Bakers? I mean, we've got three basketball teams in here. We got the Blue Hose. Isn't that the Blue Hose?
Nope. No, that's the Koalas.
Fighting Koalas.
Who's the Blue Hose?
That's Quinn Graham and Brennan Kelly.
That's Gilman.
I'm struggling over here.
That's Gilman. That's what it is.
Gilman's a powerhouse.
Yep.
So we got the Fighting Koalas who have no fight.
Nope.
And then Mitchell, what is your team?
Just the Koalas.
Penguins, yep. Waddling up and down
the
court.
Not the Fighting Penguins.
And the Bakers. And I'm sure the Bakers are the most superior team by far. So you want to break down what's your game plan? What you got on that team going for you?
Hold on. We had the Bakers, sadly, played their final game last week.
That was a heartbreaker.
Unfortunately, you were unable to participate in it because of your injury that we've already discussed.
I'm surprised you weren't out there.
We had three injured players. You know, I also had the injured finger. Aston had the broken collarbone.
Twice. Broke his collarbone?
But again.
You played through it. How did you play through the finger injury? It's like, you're like Liam Green out there, injured finger, shooting a basketball.
Oh, yeah, Liam Green.
Well, great kid. Well, I mean, I played through the injury, and I hucked up some threes, and I think I missed every single one.
But still, some would say playing through an injury like this is all-star game material. I mean,
that's really showing the dedication he has to the game and to the league. I mean, of Biddy basketball.
Would the commissioner do this? Play through a finger injury like this for the game?
No, honestly,
he'd probably call the whole game and ask for it to be rescheduled because he's hurt, and so he needs a new game.
The commissioner's soft. Yeah, he's a real softo.
Well, I mean, I like Timmy, so.
All right.
Hashtag not my commissioner.
So Dave. So you had the first round of the playoffs. Unfortunately, you guys were eliminated. You lost.
We did.
You only had four guys show up, though.
We only had four players.
So basketball, you need five guys to play usually. But in Biddy, we have an exception because we're nice guys. We'll let you play. Usually, the captains agree to go 4-on-4 to make it even.
Okay.
But the captain you were playing against,
Tyler
Medikoff, who's frequently been on the hardo list.
He's cheap.
Oh my god!
Pulled another hardo move.
Yeah,
and wouldn't go 4-on-4.
Yeah. You gotta be kidding me!
I let Tyler hear it after the game. I said, "Really, Tyler? You really didn't go 4-on-4?"
I mean, man, that is the hardo of the year.
Hardo of the year.
Just a quick question because I wasn't there, but was it actually 5-on-4 the whole entire game?
It was 5-on-4 the whole entire game.
I mean, go back Fighting Koalas game against the Bakers. it was 5-on-4. You guys still beat us.
Why
couldn't you put it off this time?
Well,
Aggies aren't that good.
It was 5-on-4 and you lost.
Yeah. Oh,
are
yeah.
you kidding me?
Well, on that subject, it was a great game, you know, fighting back and forth. But we had some foul troubles and we had two players foul out. Daryl fouled out first.
Daryl.
And we went down to five guys. Burgers and fries. But we went down to five guys and we were like, all right, 8 minutes left in the, I think it was like 6 minutes left in the third quarter, he fouled out. And we're like, all right, we're going to be tired, but we can do this. And we were winning at that point. So about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, yeah. Austin fouled out and we were just baffled. We had no idea what to do. So,
I mean, it must be a pretty intense game for someone to foul out in the third quarter.
It was that game. Well,
it's kind of easy to foul out when your team doesn't know the rules to the game.
Mitchell, you were there. What'd you think about the game?
I was there, yeah. It was quite the game. One of the most exciting games of the season, probably. I mean, yeah. Just two,
that and the Blue Hose
that game. That and the Blue Hose game. Just two scrappy teams just going back and forth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, both teams didn't really know how to play defense, so that's
or
why
basketball
they're,
or in general.
Basketball in general, yeah. Matt likes to think his team knows how to play basketball. They really don't. So, yeah, I think that's why you had all the fouls. But Bakers, I mean, you guys are athletes.
Yeah.
Five-sport athlete, you mentioned that earlier.
Five-sport, well.
That's how you guys carried. Koalas, they're maybe not the most athletic team. You guys were pretty athletic. I think that's how you guys got the dub there in that game. Yeah.
I mean, speaking of your athleticism. I mean, a big hit to your athletic career right now is that not only did you miss the hockey championship, but now you're missing baseball tryouts.
That's a heartbreaker. That's what I was really, really hoping to.
You were really
going to
be a big part of the team.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was going to be you and Provost fighting out there for that spot, but now Provost got it.
Almost as big a part of the team as Patrick Gately.
Yes.
Would say.
Oh, yeah.
Some would say. Gately, some would man. Say. Mm. I mean, that's the heart and soul of our baseball team. He told me that he got a. They gave him a participation award for the D1 state championship for hockey. But I don't know how I feel about that.
All right, so Dave, so unfortunately, you're not going to be able to be a part of the baseball team this year.
Yeah, it was really tough.
But we're always looking for fans.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
I'll be there.
So every home game, usually they're like Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays. Nice day out.
Mark that, my calendar.
Walk down to SAU Field. We love our
Have
fans.
Have a tailgate.
Have a tailgate even.
Lanny loves tailgates.
We love them tailgates.
So, Dave, I know you're pretty good buddies with Coach Girard of the lacrosse team. Last year, you had a short stint in the lacrosse world. So, let's tell me how that went. I heard you tried out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that went.
I did. Well, I was in strength and conditioning with Coach Girard second semester, and that was during the spring sports season. So, I had talked to him about trying out for lacrosse. And one of the only things he said to me about it, besides just nodding his head and just shaking his head at my stupidity, he said, Guimon, if you the second you step on that field, you're cut. And I was like, all right, we'll see. So obviously I had my motivation to go.
Being the athlete you are.
Being the superior
athlete.
Had to prove him wrong. And a short 3 days later, I was cut.
I mean, I heard you didn't even show up to one day tryout.
No, okay. The story is, I left early every day because I was bored. So I left early. And the final day when the coach made the cuts, I wasn't there. And the next day in strength and conditioning, Girard came up to me and I was with Cormac and Nate John in the locker room. They obviously were on the team. And we were getting changed with strength and conditioning. And Girard walks into the locker room and he's like, Guimont, you're an idiot. You're cut. And we all started laughing. And I had to tell you officially.
Quick question. So, like, when you did you like file the papers, like try out and everything? Yeah. You went to Romano's office, yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
Wow, that's ruthless.
I could have seen you making the team. They got a lot of spots.
Yeah,
on JV.
I was. That's all I wanted. Me and McDonough, I wanted to be on JV lacrosse and just absolutely tear it up. You know,
just rip
get penalties.
Twine.
Yeah, elbow kids in the head. That's all I wanted. I wanted to get big hits and rip twine.
Just be the fourth liner, like fight guy
exactly.
for lacrosse.
Oh, I would.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dave, now we've got a new segment.
Ooh,
and it's called the Scrambler. So what
we're gonna do?
We're gonna give you 5 minutes. And you can just talk about whatever you want, bring up whatever topic. We'll chime in every once in a while, but this is your time. It's a little scramble. Just you do you. So So what do you think? We've got some topics if you need them, but if you've got anything on your mind.
Give me a topic. You want to start you out with it? Here we go. We got a headline on Jerry Thornton said, let's be honest, the Sitco sign sucks. What do you got to say?
So what do you think about the Sitco sign? Scramble.
Scramble!
Who's Jerry Thornton?
Who knows?
He's a Patriots blogger for Barstool Sports. But he says the Sitco sign sucks.
Oh, the Sitco sign sucks. All right. Okay, that rattles me. Because Sitco sign is a symbol of the Red Sox in Boston.
You.
And, you know, you go to Fenway Park, you see the Sitco sign, you're like, oh, the Sitco sign, I'm next to Fenway Park. All right, so that's a joke. That needs to stay forever and ever.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, it's like taking out the green monster. You don't do that.
Devil's Advocate, they're owned by Venezuela. How do you feel about that?
Ooh, Venezuela.
Next topic. Russian KGB agents hacked 500 million Yahoo users simply by catfishing some Yahoo employee. That's sad.
Probably Provost behind all that.
Probably Provost. Well, that's a picture.
Moscow Matt. Yeah. You'll call Moscow Matt for nothing.
All right. Oh, yeah. So you said you wanted to talk about March Madness. Let's hear all about it.
Who you got?
I have Princeton going all the way. Mm. Just me.
They've already lost, Manny, in case you didn't know that.
Who do you got?
Well, I forget, kind of. I remember I had Kansas going to the finals. I believe I picked them over Duke, I believe.
Duke?
But I think my sleeper pick is probably UCLA, even though they got some good
UCLA.
Odds.
Yeah,
they're not
UCLA.
Really a sleeper pick, but
me,
I think like that.
I got a topic for you to talk about. So, you know, we got Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo Ball.
$1 billion.
Lonzo Ball and his brother's name is?
LaMelo
and
LiAngelo.
LaVar's the dad. So
Dynasty.
LaVar came out the other day and said that he thinks his sons could be better than Michael Jordan. What do you think about that?
Well, maybe if it was a 3-on-1 and Michael had his legs chopped off, but even then I don't even know. But I think that's a great
you're crapping on the scramble. Come on, you're better than that. You're better than that. All right, what else you got?
I forgot the word. I think that's a great thing for this dad to think about. You know, being better than Michael Jordan, because I actually saw LaMelo Ball's tweet.
Yeah,
I actually favorited it,
big
and tweet. it was about how some people don't have fathers, and they're making fun of his dad, saying that his three sons could accomplish anything. And I thought that was a very, very nice tweet.
I pulled it up
right now. I have it. It says some kids don't even have fathers, and y'all hating on my father because he believes his kids can do anything.
I believe they can do anything.
That is a direct quote from LaMelo Ball at SwaggyMelo1. But I think that's a great point. He's been getting a lot of heat recently, and that's just a great father right there. I mean, it sounds crazy, but I mean, that's a great father saying his kids can do anything, and it's pretty inspirational. I like that.
So you brought up Duke, and we'll probably talk about this a little later in the show, but Syracuse beat Duke.
Ooh.
And you have Duke going to the Final Four.
Mm. Syracuse didn't even make the tournament.
Which is ridiculous.
Syracuse and NIT, are they in March Madness? Are they doing anything
but
right now?
Because Syracuse beat Duke and Duke is making it to the Final Four, does that mean Syracuse belongs in the Final Four?
Hold on.
Well,
new point.
Kind of makes you think.
BC beat Syracuse. They won like two games all year. Does that mean they should be in the Final Four?
No, exactly.
Jack Flanagan's
exactly.
Syracuse.
This is just ridiculous
so is
crap you're spewing out. Mm.
So I mean, you said your sleeper is UCLA. Do you have any other sleepers you got? I mean,
I don't know a lick about college basketball. So I just kind of picked, you know, teams I liked. You know, like this school I knew. So I know Duke was has been good the past couple years. So.
Past couple years, no big deal.
So, last topic for the Scrambler. This is a little headline here on Barstool. 4-year-old Siberian girl walks in -29 degree weather for 4 hours. What do you think about that? Hot take.
She had to tell...
Siberian. Well, they live... That's -29 is probably like 70 degrees for us here.
I think she was actually reporting the death of her grandmother to a family member, I think is what she was doing.
Well, that's very morbid.
We just killed it.
Well, God.
Terrible. So it goes.
Well,
and
damn it, funny.
So it goes.
You're a jerk.
I find it funny. Siberian girl. Siberia is in Russia. Russia is very communist. And we have Matt.
Matt,
who is a communist, so Moscow Matt might be behind the Siberian girl walking in negative 29.
Matt Provost has left the room.
Bad radio. We're looking at Matt Provost.
Yep, sad.
Walking out the door right now.
Sad.
What a bummer. So sad.
All right, so Dave, thanks for being on the show today. Really enjoyed 5 minute scramble. Yeah. Something new, you know. So, yeah. I liked how we shake it up like that.
Fresh take. Yeah, that was good. I like.
So, well, thanks for being on the show, and
I love these games.
Wish you the best of luck in all your athletic endeavors in the
future. Thank you.
Have a good one, Dave.
Meow.
Right about now, the Funk Soul Brother. Check it out now, the Funk Soul Brother. Right about now. Funk Soul Brother, check it out now.
Welcome back to the Weekend Windup on 105.1. We're here with Chase Valancourt, recent state champ in ice hockey and second team All-State selectee, as well as senior All-Star game player for representing the state of New Hampshire. Chase, nice to have you on the show. So, big weekend for you. You just won your second state championship as a Bedford hockey player. I mean, what a way to end your high school hockey season. So, tell us what it's like to finish your senior year with back-to-back state championships in your junior and your senior year.
It's pretty cool. It wasn't as exciting of a championship game as it was last year. You know, the 7-0 blowout didn't really get the heart rate up. Wasn't too exciting, but it was a good time.
Yeah, so last year, the championship game was a little more exciting. 4-3 against rival school BG. Who was BG undefeated that year?
I'm not sure if they were defeated, but...
They were definitely the one seed.
Yeah, they were the one seed.
You guys were the underdogs.
Yeah.
I mean, did you... So last year, I know BG, you guys have a huge rivalry. You've always known the players. I mean, like Pearson and Holt, you always knew those kids. Did you know the Concord team as well this year as you knew BG in the past few years? That big, big rivalry going back and forth in playoffs?
Some of the guys on the team knew other Concord guys, but I personally didn't really know anyone except for one kid that I played with when I was younger.
So was it, when you were on the ice, was it different playing Concord in the championship than it was playing BG last year in terms of the feel in the stadium and stuff?
Yeah, definitely. It was a little bit more exciting with BG there, especially with the nerves, just because it's BG and, you know, both schools hate each other, so a little bit more on the line, a little bit more bragging rights.
So I did see you, I was at the game, I did see you chirping a lot, especially with the BG game. You know, what are you saying out there? And maybe you can't say it, Just tell me, I know I saw the scoreboard thing, you know, what else were you saying out there?
It's pretty tough to remember what you say just because it comes out so quick and it's just kind of heated moment stuff, but what I do remember, I probably shouldn't say on air, so.
Colin Castle.
I mean, I was watching, I had to work during the championship, so I, of course, wasn't at the game, lucky me, but my dad was, and he said, highlight of the game was, last period, 3 minutes left, he watched a Concord kid just hook one of our defensemen right between. Was that you?
That was me.
So yeah, my dad, I got to give you props. My dad said he was very impressed that you didn't drop the kid immediately. He said you didn't really do anything. You're just looking for a ref. But I mean, stuff like that. I heard it was a pretty intense game.
Yeah, well, what happened was I was making a pass up ice and he came in to hit me and I saw him. So I kind of caught him and I got the upper hand on him. He fell down and I think I said something to him when he got up and he just put his stick right into my leg. So I closed my legs and kind of went for a ride a little bit. And but there's a minute left.
At that point, the game was over. Yeah.
The game had been over since the first period. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that. So you guys got up 3-0 in the first 5 minutes. So what was the strategy after that? Did your approach to the game change at all after that? Because Concord did get a lot of shots. They outshot you guys, I believe.
Yeah, they outshot us, but I think our shots just counted more. We had 4 shots in the first 6 minutes, and we had 3 goals out of those 4 shots. Right. So, but our strategy didn't change much. We were looking to... just score as many goals as we can and keep them out of our net.
So there was nothing like, I know in the regular season when you guys got up big, which happened quite often, you guys would kind of sit back and pass the puck around and work on some plays. Like, in the championship game, did that happen? Or
yeah,
was it just...
a lot of that in regular season was like sportsmanship. You know, you don't want to put 10, 11 goals on teams and goalies. So, but in the championship, you know, it all works. So we just went for it.
Were there any specific teams that you just wanted to pump so badly because they're, talking before the game or whatever? Well, name a team. I heard Pinkerton, any teams talk a lot? You just want to,
The only
10-0?
The only team that talked a lot was BG and Concord.
Really?
They were posting Instagram pictures before the game started about, I think, I don't know if you guys saw this, a BG player posted a picture of BG celebrating at St. A's.
Oh, yeah.
And they said this won't be the last time you see us celebrating.
It was.
Yeah, ironically, it was the last time we saw them celebrating. So, and then Concord did the same thing. They had a picture. It was them huddled around in the locker room, and it's something about Bedford and their girlfriends and something like that, the Volotions. And
there was, and I think there was something the Concord, I don't know if it's a Concord hockey team or one of the players in the Concord hockey team, took Bedford Hockey's image of the bulldog riding the wave on a surfboard and like put the bulldog in the wave and like said he was like getting swept out to sea or something dumb.
Yeah, it was like, pretty. It was pretty dumb. Yeah. That was like a sports page of theirs, a little Twitter sports page. Yeah.
Like I was like, come on, like find something better, guys.
Probably like one of those like 60-year-old guys who just follows like you know hockey and they're just like, oh
no, nope, Matt, you're wrong. It was a high schooler.
That'd be funny. I know how to do Photoshop. That'd be pretty funny.
It was pretty bad Photoshop, actually.
It was really bad. I had to take a second look at it. What is that?
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to say, though, hockey, by far, worst chirps I've ever seen. I mean, on the ice and off the ice, there's always beef going around hockey. I mean, I don't know what it is, but
I think it's just the student section is ruthless.
Oh, yeah. How much of that do you get on the ice? Because, like, are you, like, hearing, like, a chant or anything?
In the JFK, you can hear almost everything because the students are above the ice. But
Karina.
Yeah, exactly. But at Verizon, it was a little bit harder to hear. But actually, the student section seemed to move over.
I don't know. I mean, do we want to talk about that for a little bit?
What was I going to say? The other thing was, but the other team's chant, the other student section's chants are awfully weak. Like CHS, you know, like that doesn't get your head.
Well, it's tough when you're losing 7-0.
And you got nothing else. Got to say your high school.
Right, so what Manny was referring to earlier that Matt so abruptly cut off was the fact that the Concord fans, a couple, like probably 5 or 6, thought they were being cool or whatever and came over to our student section in the second intermission and were like, they just sat down and thought they were being hot stuff. So one of the workers at the Verizon, one of the security guards, Lisa, I think her name was?
Yeah, Lisa.
It was the video was posted on Twitter later of her kicking the students out and sending them home. And we all got, us in the student section, we all got a MVP chant going for Lisa. So it was just the Concord fans trying to make themselves relevant because in the game they weren't.
Yeah, I think I heard Cooper Annable in the background of that video asking if they wanted to come over to the winning side. And that's why they're here.
That was a huge chirp. Yeah, really got us on the good side.
I mean, also, the fan section I also heard, we did have a little shift before the game as well.
That's what I want to talk about.
That's what you're referring to.
We have a group of young ladies who are by far the biggest hockey fans in the school. They really,
that's a nice way to put it.
Yep, they like watching their boyfriends play.
Yep, exactly. They really care about their boyfriends, and they really know the game of hockey really well.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they were there. I think they were there at like 2:30.
They were there pretty early. Yeah,
I saw them walk in, and we were still watching the D2 game.
Right. Yeah.
I was still in a suit, hadn't even gotten my warm up gear, and I saw them walking in. So.
And they wanted to make sure they get the front row, so they can get the best view of their little boy thieves out on the ice.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they come in, and they're upset because who was playing the D2 games?
Bo and Keen. We were on the Keen side.
So they didn't want to wait for Keen to leave because they weren't sure if they were going to get their front row seats. So they decided to start their own fan section next to them. And the best part, sportsmanship award, you give them the best move of the week for everyone, is the Bedford boys, the seniors, decided to move in and get rid of their fan section. We started our own fan section in Keene, and the girls were all left by themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing.
Great. Oh, yeah.
To see those girls who pretend that they care so much about hockey. I mean, ride or die hockey fans, just away from everyone else. Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah. I think the best part was you guys actually moved the student section to a better spot.
Right. Oh, yeah. We moved it right behind
the bench. Yeah.
That was the other thing. They started the student section not behind the bench. Like,
yeah. They were complaining that we were behind the bench, so it was a bad thing to try and get their own little student section.
You want to be behind the bench. Yeah.
I could turn around and actually talk to people.
Right.
Yeah. And I wouldn't usually do that in a normal game, but when it's 7-0, I don't really care.
You give a little acknowledgement to the fans.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Usually I try not to, but after a little bit,
we know our fellow co-host Jack Flanagan loves to give acknowledgement to some certain fans.
Caleb McDonald,
yeah,
that's not the fan I was thinking of, but him too.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, I've heard from a few of the players on the team who are younger, not as talented as you. You know, don't get as much ice time. I hear that they were a little. I mean, did you guys do a lot of, did the lines change a lot as the game progressed? I mean, you're up by a lot, but obviously it's a championship game. You're not gonna lighten up. How did you see the line exchange go as the game went on?
We rolled top three lines for the first 2.5 periods, and I think we got the greenies, the fourth liners out for the last minute or so, and then they got pulled off so the seniors can be on the ice for the championship celebration.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that was good. I think Coach Myers did a good job of getting the scrubs in, you know, when
I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. Yeah.
Right. When it was
we're here to win.
When it was their time. Right.
We're here to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also heard an interesting story. So you guys had a little after party, you know, just hung out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bunch of guys being, you know, hanging out.
Guys being dudes.
But I heard that you had a Trinity kid at that party. Is that true? So was he a friend of yours, or how did he get there?
He was Memorial.
Oh, Memorial.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how he got there. I think he's friends with one of our guys on the team. But, I mean, he was a cool kid. He was seemed all right.
So, Chase, another thing we want to talk about is, I mean, recently you're selected to the second team All-State. I mean, personally, I believe you're a very, very good player, and I would have put you on first team. But I know we had a few other players on the team on second team. How many were on first team?
Griffin and Eric were first team. And
not Jack Flanagan.
Not Jack Flanagan. And Jay, Jake, and me were second team.
I think if they had a third team, I no doubt would have been honorable mention.
Absolutely.
So Chase, does it really bother you? I mean, it's just a status thing. Were you expecting to be first team, or is it not a big deal to you?
I honestly wasn't really thinking about it. I didn't really think about it at all until I got the call from coach, and he told me about second team, and I was like, all right, still made All-State. It's still cool.
It's,
what else do you need?
It's still an honor.
It's better than what Flaney's got.
It must be really cool making All-State.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know what that feels like.
No, no.
Flaney, you got ice time this year, bud. That's good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You should be happy.
Top 4D for the championship team this year. Something to be proud of right there.
Yeah, only top 4.
Okay, so we had a bunch of All-State players on the hockey team, but we also had Griffin Gagne winning Division I Player of the Year. So, what do you have to say about Griffin? I mean, he's a pretty good player.
He was unavailable for comment today, of course, along with Jay Roberto. And
of course.
Yeah.
Yep.
Griffin's a great player. He's really wasn't a goal scorer. We called him No Finish Gagne until about junior year when he started putting the puck in the net. And he got a lot of goals, a lot of points this year.
Yeah, I mean, whenever that kid broke away, you knew it was going to be either goal or something close. Yeah.
I think I saw some stat. Was he the all-time points leader at Bedford High School? For in a single season, at least?
He has to be.
I think I saw that somewhere, but don't quote me on that.
He must have. How many goals did he average a game this year?
Goals per game. That's a new stat.
I'm making a stat right now.
Honestly,
that's
probably
a hot
two.
Take right there. Coming out of the weekend.
Sabermetrics.
He's probably 2 goals a game.
Yeah, he's
at least 3.
2 points, at least 2 points a game.
I'd say at least like 3 or 4 points.
Really?
Because his line scored a lot,
true,
too. McDonough and Jay always scored.
Did Flanny score a lot?
Flanny got some goals.
I actually
this
had
year.
The second most points out of all the defense on the Bedford High School team.
Wow. Yeah. Who were you behind?
Well, second team All-State, Chase Valancourt.
Yeah, of course. That's what I thought. Yeah. Of course. So, speaking of you, Jack, and your extreme performance on the ice, we also had a lot of selections to the senior all-star game, which is a game between, well, first you go to New Hampshire, you play a game, and then you get invited to play against Vermont in the Make-A-Wish game. So all of our seniors were selected this year, including you, Chase, but I feel like we left one out. Do you know who didn't make it?
Unfortunately, I think the player that didn't make it was our Jack Flanagan here.
Oh, man. Do you have anything to say about that, Jack?
Yeah, you know, not everybody can be an all-star collegiate athlete like you, Manny Ray. And here's the problem. In New Hampshire sports are run amok with corruption, okay?
Here we go again.
Here's the problem. New Hampshire hockey, just like the Bedford Biddy Basketball League, probably has some anthead loser commissioner.
I mean, I agree with you. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, baseball last year, Ryan Lenahan, star catcher for 3 years, didn't make the senior all-star game.
Hold on.
Jack Flanagan, star defenseman for 3 years, doesn't make the senior all-star game.
Hold on. If I know anything about the Flanagans, Jim Flanagan knows everybody. He definitely knows who is in charge of this All-State thing.
So the fact that he still couldn't get you on it?
Wait a second.
That kind of makes the thing. Final question. So after the Pinkerton game, everyone was a little mad. You got to admit. But how did your stick feel when you tried to snap it over your knee and you couldn't do it?
Yeah.
I mean, I watched it happen. I couldn't help but laugh. I watched
I mean, you were mad. You had every right to be mad. Watching you go to snap that stick over your knee and then it didn't work. It looked like that hurt pretty bad. And then you were just banging it on the ice. Wouldn't snap. I mean, would you expecting it to snap or you were just so mad you just really, wanted to hit something?
I didn't think it was going to snap because it was the first game I used it. So it still had all its strength to it. I think if I had been using it for like a couple months, it probably would have broken. But I mean, you know, it's meant to take a good 100, 120 pounds of flex to it. Yeah. So I didn't think I was going to snap it. But I was pretty upset after I saw that nice tip-in goal.
Yeah, that was bad. That was a rough game, but you know, all right. Well, thanks for coming on the air with us this week, Chase. Wish you all the best of luck and congrats on a great senior season. Have a good one.
Thank you.
All right, so that's it for this week on this episode of the Weekend Windup on Bedford 105.1. If you happen to miss any of the show today or would just like to listen a little more, follow us on Instagram at Weekend Windup. That's one word, at Weekend Windup. Or look us up at www.podbean.com on the 105.1 WBNH page. So thank you for listening. Tune in next week. And remember, Bedford,
stay classy
and win championships.